All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here. It's Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We are going to talk about songs that are used in TV commercials, and some of them that drive you nuts, some of them that you remember. Songs from TV commercials, and the best and the worst and the most annoying. And then we'll move on to some more music stuff, because Skip Skipley's on the way, and we will have our second edition of For the Record, where Skip will quiz Esmeralda and I about 80s and 90s music, some different categories as well. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I would like to welcome to the show Mike Bancroft, who is of Sauce and Bread, which is a spot located at 6338 North Clark. It's a product of Co-op Sauce and Crumb Chicago. Sauce and Bread is about local ingredients and house-made fare. And they have these special suppers that they host. And they have an amazing rotating menu. And there's a great story behind this place called Sauce and Bread. And they have a foraged feast menu that's going to take place tomorrow. It's sold out tomorrow, but there's another one coming up in June that we'll tell you all about as well. So, but let's bring out Mike Bancroft and welcome to the show. Mike, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Nick, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, it sounds like you have a great spot there up in Edgewater. Heck of an area up there. I lived in Andersonville for many years, and I know that area very well.
Yeah, it's a bit of forgotten Chicago, but we're fans.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let me ask about your background, Mike, and how you get started into the world of in the culinary world.
Culinary world was sort of an accident for sure. It was something that kind of came to be after working for the not-for-profit that the hot sauce was a fundraiser for. So teaching mostly art and entrepreneurship stuff with high school kids and mostly CPS students, and in some sense just had to kind of deal with what the kids were forced to eat, which oftentimes is not the greatest option. So we just started doing some culinary programs with the kids, and a lot of what I learned was literally kind of cooking with the kids in the cooking show and hanging out with the art center.
That's very, very cool. Now tell me about co-op sauce.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
The kind of similar story where it was, we were running arts programs in the gardens, and we were always looking for ways to figure out earned income through the projects we were working on, not just to get the cash flow, but also to kind of teach the kids about entrepreneurship.
And so now, where did when did your love for hot sauces and making hot sauces come into play, Mike?
Probably Masking Bad Food was where it was born. So. Learning to cook on my own, and I think being self-taught, you definitely have a lot of fails leading up to. So we had not only a lot of fails in what we were covering up with the sauce, but there were some rough ones to begin with.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about making let's say hot sauce? I know they're probably different. Obviously, the ingredients vary wildly, and the technique is different. But like, talk about some of the best sauces that you make. What are some of the ones that you like the most?
I think some of the classics I always go back to, like the mole, which is a lot of dry spice, and it's actually got chocolate into it, so super, super versatile, and a little bit of smoke happening. So I balance, I think, is what we shoot for. And then a lot of times it's kind of like the cafe, where we're inspired by, what we have available. So we work a lot with the growers. We used to actually grow the peppers in our community gardens in Humboldt Park, but outgrew those and established a bunch of cool relationships with Midwestern producers. And so sometimes they'll have a pepper that I've never heard of, and they'll have it, and we'll try it out and kind of scale it up with them. So we'll do small batches 1 year, and then the next year, if it works out, then we do a little bit more, and so on and so forth until they turn into the bigger batches.
And currently, how many sauces do you guys make?
I think we have like 25, 26 different sauces in stock right now.
Do they vary in heat? Do the Scovilles go through the roof with some of them?
Yeah, we have a couple wildly hot ones. They're still kind of built for flavor, not for speed. But we definitely have one that's Reaper based and peppermint As weird as that sounds, and it's called the Dumpster Fire Sauce, which is our is our hottest in the range. And then on the milder side, we actually have one that we just bottled up last week that we use Wild Forage Ramps, which kind of is, you know, a tie into what our meal is this week for the supper club.
Yeah, and you do a supper club. It's once a month?
Yeah, the supper club is once a month, and usually a Wednesday or midweek. Sometimes we'll do it on a Sunday, depending, just because, again, we still have the cafe hours and the production.
Right. Well, let's, first of all, before we get to the to the supper club stuff, let's talk about how Sauce and Bread came to be. It was you and another person put it all together, decided to join forces, correct?
Yeah, it's my girlfriend of 10 years almost. We had, you know, been sharing kitchen space, and she has a bakery called Crumb Bread that's out at like the Green City Farmers Market. And so we were sharing kitchen space and kind of utilized the shared kitchen thing to get it's a little bit of like a way to trick the city into giving us a retail food license, because we're sort of more manufacturing than, and I can say this now because we've had a retail food license, and but the business license is actually under Sauce, Co-op Sauce Crumb Bread, and then the kitchen name is called, the restaurant is called Sauce and Bread Kitchen. So the city in its earlier phases did not understand kind of like multi-use production / retail food.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
To keep it less confusing, not really to trick, I shouldn't say that, but we kind of just consolidated our energies, and also instead of paying insurance for three separate businesses and all that good stuff, we decided to kind of just like consolidate it and simplify the concept, and that's how Sauce and Bread was born.
And now, how many people are working? How many people work in the cafe?
The cafe is pretty small scale. We've got 4 employees for the cafe, and then you know, like 2 additional for Co-op Sauce, and then Anne is rocking solo right now for Crumb.
Okay, and so your menu changes quite a bit, right? The menu in the cafe changes all the time, correct?
Yeah, we've got some standbys, but definitely it's seasonally inspired for sure.
And you changed the menu. I mean, I'm looking at the menu right here, and you got breakfast that's served all day every day. You've got brunch, and you've got lunch as well. And but you serve it all day. Like breakfast is all day, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's the door open to the public Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 9 to 5.
Okay, there you go. All right, now we just mentioned the supper club, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's coming up tomorrow, Wednesday's supper, is Foraged Feast. This sounds fascinating to me. Tell me how this concept, and that's sold out, but there's another supper club that's happening in June. We'll give you more details about that because you can get in there. But this one just sold out. But tell us about Foraged Feast. This sounds fascinating to me, and where you went to forage.
Yeah, well, this has been a good one. I mean, I sort of was taught by a couple of my culinary buddies where and how to forage for stuff. So I definitely was mentored before I just went and started digging in the woods to find things to eat. But something that's been a hobby of mine for a while and loved going out in the woods, it's more just an excuse. You know, it's hunting, not harvesting, my friend tells me. You know, it's sort of that thing where, you know, you wish you were just popping into the woods and finding all the morels you could possibly eat. But end of day, you know, it took us 3 days to even hunt down any morels.
Wow, 3 days. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's just nothing guaranteed. I mean, in the same sense, you know, it could be that you come back out with, you know, 100 pounds of morels. But in our case, we came back out with, you know, 5.5-6 pounds between a lot of us. And then there's other things to forage for, like the ramps, like I mentioned, that we make the sauce out of, the wild onions, and then a bunch of other types of mushrooms. But the morel is sort of the piece de resistance sort of thing when you're out in the early months.
And the menu that you guys have that you put together, it's going to involve everything that you foraged for, correct? Every course is going to have something involved with it.
Exactly. Not all the things that I've foraged, but some of the things that I've actually personally gone out for. But some of the other things, like my friend who goes out in Illinois, they've got a farm, so we're actually on private land, so we're not digging through the forest preserve to get stuff. They got some extra stuff, so the golden oysters I actually picked up on the streets of Pilsen this evening. He drove. He was driving.
Yeah.
Delivery, and on 18th Street right by he handed me Ziploc bags full of yellow oyster mushrooms that we'll be prepping tomorrow and getting ready for the supper on Wednesday.
Wow, that's amazing. That really is amazing. How did your relationships begin with these local, you know, these people who have the land and the farm, and you want to go like from farm to table? How did you begin those relationships and keep them?
I think just we were working a lot of farmers markets, so in some cases we'd just be neighbors to the people and be stuck on a rainy day at a farmer's market and just became buddies, and that's been sort of how a lot of our stuff is sourced for the restaurant. It's just those relationships that we've culminated over the years. And for the soft stuff, it's turned into something that peppers grow really well in the Midwest. And so not only are we kind of like creating these like retail opportunities for us to stock the restaurant, but we're also growing in a scale where it's turned into a pretty decent little revenue stream for a product that wasn't necessarily in their, you know, in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, let's say 10 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. Tell me about last month's supper that you guys had. You had the bird's dinner. Tell me about that. That's right. I'm looking at the menu. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was a good one. It's all the poultry, I guess, would be the best way to make it. And I think the pheasant was from the Farland Ranch, which we actually visited the place where they raise the birds over there. They raise them in batting cages. That's pretty crazy. But they're in an open field. The birds was a great dinner.
Yeah. And, pheasant, I love pheasant, and it's not an easy thing to prepare though.
No, they're tough little guys to work out, but luckily we didn't have to pluck them.
That's good. That's one step that you didn't have to do. Mike, hang on. Okay.
Yeah,
hang
no
on.
Problem.
All right. There you go. Mike Bancroft is with us, and he is the co-owner of Sauce and Bread, which is located at 6338 North Clark. It's a cafe, and they have a varying menu that changes from time to time. It's all fresh ingredients, and they do a supper club every month, and they're doing one tomorrow, which is Forged Forest, which is actually sold out, but we'll tell you about the one that they're going to do in June, give you all the details on that, and talk a little bit more about Sauce and Bread. And coming up right here, we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Right now, though, we're talking with Mike Bancroft of Sauce and Bread, which is a cafe located at 6338 North Clark Street. And they have homemade stuff, and they do farm to table, and they have supper clubs as well as just the cafe, which has a varying menu that changes all the time. And so let's talk a little bit more with Mike. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. So Anne, your girlfriend, rocks out the bread, right? And it must smell fantastic in the place.
It is a dangerous workplace. It's all the pastry, all the bread, all the time, all the real building.
And it's all made right there on right on there in the building.
Yeah,
and
in the back of the house.
How long has she been doing that?
Anna's more of the career culinary rock star. So she teaches me a lot along the way, and we both work on all the favorite stuff, but she really has the chops, as it were.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And one more thing before we get to, I want to talk about the menu for the next event on Sunday, June 10th, Dinner in a Barn on a Farm, which sounds fantastic. I want to get to that in a second. But I want to get back to the hot sauces for a second. How do you, because it's difficult, because I've had some, I don't like the screaming hot stuff. I mean, I like a good spice. But for me, the sauces that I think are terrible are the ones that are just all heat, no flavor. How does one avoid that? That's terrible when that happens.
It is terrible. I feel like those are maybe they'll be like eating pepper spray or something, which I think there's similar ingredients where they're using like the olorosin oil, which is literally the oil that they put into pepper spray and mace. So I think if that's any gauge, we avoid that stuff.
Yeah, so that's one way to avoid just nothing but heat and no flavor, and that
right.
Balance, is it difficult to find that balance between like having that great heat and then also having it be a really tasty thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely, you come up with some baselines and then you work from there. I think it's harder obviously to do with the hotter peppers, but I think it's something we've got down pretty pat that doesn't you know, sauces that aren't meant to just overtake what you're eating. You actually want to taste what you're eating, and it might even make it, you know, better, as opposed to totally masking the flavor. Not to say that there isn't some pizza that could do to be masked altogether.
Yeah. I ask you, I don't know if you can explain this, but how does one make a hot sauce that doesn't hit you right away? Like, you don't get it. It just comes back on you. That I always find fascinating.
I think there's a couple ways. I think definitely playing with acidity, but also we ferment all of our peppers. Mm. So one of the ways that we're able to keep stuff local is to actually ferment the peppers just like you would, you know, sauerkraut. So what we actually do is we lacto-ferment all the peppers, which does sometimes kind of tone that heat, or you can play with how much salt you put into the ferments that brings that heat up on the front, or the sweetness on the front, or that latent heat, which you can also do through the ferments themselves, kind of like making wine.
Yeah. Wow, it's fascinating stuff. Every time I'll have a hot, when I'll try a hot sauce, and I'm like, yeah, that's nothing. And then like 3 minutes later, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, there it goes.
Yeah, there it goes. Here it comes right now. Hey, before we jump into the one in June, the one that you guys are doing on Wednesday, tomorrow, you have on the menu some really interesting stuff on the menu. Can you tell me a little bit more about the forged, the menu you guys are doing, specifically the Hawkswing Bao?
Yeah, the Hawkswing Bao. So it's been kind of an on-again, off-again morel season, but the Hawkswing has been in heavy, which is another name for it. It's the dried saddle mushroom, which are these sort of big, beautiful shelf mushrooms. Do not try hunting yourself, but they're an easier one to ID, and they were real, real big this year. So there's a lot of great stuff to work with, and then you kind of just, they have this like watermelon, almost cucumber smell to them, and that flavor kind of carries through when you cook with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using them almost like you would like pulled pork. So we're searing them and then braising them off with the miso that we actually make ourselves as well. And mm-hmm. then we're going to be putting that inside of a bao, kind of like the Chinese buns.
Sure, yeah. And you got a wild mushroom pasta to go along with it.
Yep, OG is a guess right there.
Yeah.
The wild mushroom.
That's fantastic. Well, that one's sold out, but Dinner in a Barn on a Farm is on June 10th. It's at 5 p.m., and it's more than just dinner. You've got some storytellings. You've got some music. There's all kinds of really great stuff happening. It's only $65. Tell everybody about what's going on June 10th.
We'll kind of talk about some of our buddies who grow produce for us. We have friends out in Libertyville, of all places. It's one of the last working farms in Lake County. And the name of the farm is Radical Root Farm, and it's an annual dinner that we've been doing with them over the years, where we take over their farm, and they're gracious enough to let us have a big old bonfire, and last fall did a giant pig roast, and this summer we're doing a kind of an early summer throwdown, and beers are going to be donated by Mars Brewing, and should be a great time.
And you got storytelling by Jill Howe and Story Sessions.
Yeah, also great folks.
And Radical Root Farm, how long have they been around? You said they're in Libertyville. How long have they been around?
Radical Root Farm has kind of come up about the same time frame as we have. So they've been around for a little over 10 years. We met them at the Logan Square Farmers Market a million years ago. And they're super amazing folks and have become really good friends of ours.
That's great. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And it's only $65. And and so it's on Sunday, June 10th at 5 p.m. And you guys, your website probably has all this information, right? Sauceandbread.com?
Yeah, Facebook's probably a more updated kind of look into that stuff. So Sauce and Bread on the Facebook page we're a little more diligent on that space than we are on the website. I wish we were better on the website.
Now, because you've got the cafe and you seem to be very busy, you don't do the farmers markets anymore, do you?
We actually do. We keep the co-op sauces, the Logan Square Farmers Market every Sunday, and then every other Green City Farmers Market. So she'll actually be out there this Saturday, playing in bread and all kinds of sweet, delicious treats.
I got a really great farmers market near my apartment at Independence Park on Irving. It's a really good farmer's market. I'm lucky to have it. But the farmer's markets are just great. They're so much fun too. And getting fresh, there's nothing better than getting fresh food, you know?
Yeah. And they're also cool incubators for a lot of the businesses that are popping up around food, and definitely have a soft spot in my heart for them.
Yeah.
Well, we got our stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it clearly worked for you. So, yeah. Everybody should check out Sauce and Bread. Stop in, have a sandwich, have some food, have some. They breakfast all day long, brunch, lunch, all that great stuff. They're at 6338 North Clark. The next event is Sunday, June 10th. That's their supper club thing. It's going to be dinner in a barn on a farm at Radical Root Farm. There, you can join up right now. It's only $65, and it all sounds great to me. I really, Mike, I really admire what you and your girlfriend are doing, man. I think it's great, and you know, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. Stay on through any time. We'd love to see you.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, take it easy.
There you go. Mike Bancroft, everybody, from Sauce and Bread, 6338 North Clark. We'll take a quick break right here on 720 WGN.